So you're all familiar with, right? You're all familiar with the Medrash that says concerning the Dalet Malchus, the beginning of Sefer Bereishis. Or it's like Tov, Bo, Koshech, Om, Tov, Bavel, Bo. Bo is Paros Madai. Choshech is Yavan, and Tahom is Edom, Rabiz. And the reason that Yavan is referred to as Choshech, Shechichoyen to Yisrael with their zeros, the Zeroseyan. And the Nusach the Medrash brings down was that they said, Kis lachem al keren ashor, she'en lechem chelek b'lekei Yisrael. Right upon the horn of the ox, shore, she'en lechem chelek b'lekei Yisrael, that you have no portion in the God of Israel. Right? There's another Nusach, another Medrash, that says, Kis lachem al keren ashor, she'en lechem chelek l'olam haba. In other words, the claim of the Yavanim, obviously the Yavanim, they believed in Kadmus. They believed in Kadmus. They believed that the world is a shadow, God forbid, of God. There is no creation per se. The world always was, etc. So in that sense, they don't see the world as being a gift. And we talked about that in Shabbos, right? They don't see the world as being a gift of the Creator, an act of creation, an act of ultimate chesed. They just see it is. It's a sterile existence. So they don't believe in the whole story. But even the Shitasenu, in their claim, in their battle against us for primacy, in terms of Chochmah, how to understand Chochmah, how to relate to Chochmah, what the purpose of Chochmah is, etc. Even in that, they want to make a counterclaim against us. L'shitaseinu, according to even your way of thinking. Kisu lachem al keren hashor. Write yourselves upon the horn of the ox. She'en lachem chelik ve'elokei Yisrael, or she'en lachem chelik olam haba. Perush. Even according to the way you view things. The Maral says, that the Kis Lachem Al Keren Hashor She'en Lachem Chelik B'Elokei Yisrael is a reference to what? To the Chet Ha'Egel. To the Chet Ha'Egel. In other words, right upon the horn of the ox, that you have no chelik, no portion in the God of Israel. In other words, your claim, Jewish people, that you march to the beat of a different drummer. You are refused to believe that the be-all and end-all of existence is the analysis of Teva. We don't deny the analysis of Teva. We don't deny the value of understanding. We don't deny that. The question is that the ultimate of mankind? To be able to decipher, you know, how many positrons there are, right? Or how many neutrinos, or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's not the goal. It's a tool. It's an important thing to know, perhaps, but it's certainly not the goal. But according to your claim that there is a higher system to beat up whose drummer you march, forget about it. Because at your very inception, at your very beginning, the first steps that you took as a nation, there you are, according to your way of understanding things, that you received divine revelation at Sinai, you are coping with the Chet Ha'Egel. Kis lachem al keren ashor, she'en lachem chelik b'lokei Yisrael. And the second message, which says she'en lachem chelik l'olam haba, really is just a subset of that first statement. It's just a subset. The first statement says you don't have an active relationship, a bilateral relationship, one of hashgacha pratis, because you're not living on a different plane than the rest of the nations of the world. You're along with all the rest of us. You're doing that which is convenient, what your desires drag you to. Power or pleasure, whatever it happens to be. Right? You had a need for the ego then, you made the ego, so you're all the rest of us. And that being the case, then there is no olam haba. So not the way you understand it. Perhaps there is in our mythological system, right? There's something called the Elysian Fields, where the warriors, etc., suck upon nectar and ambrosia, etc. But not what you believe that Olam Haba, what is Olam Haba? Olam Haba is not Olam Hazeh versus Olam Hahu, this world versus that world, which perhaps grammatically would be more correct. But rather, you believe in Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba, a world that comes from this world. Based on the relationship that you forged with your Creator, forget about it. Put it out of your mind. You never lived up to it. You never were successful at it. At your very beginnings, you proved yourself to be incapable of it. And therefore, it is a waste of time. It's an effort of nonsense. Kislecha Makir on a short. So said the Maharal. I want to suggest, right, perhaps there's another aspect to Kislechem al Kiran Ashor, Shein Lechem Chilik Velike Yisrael. And that is, if you look at the second citation there on page 1, Ode, Rache Ara, etc., says the Pasuk in Dvarim, Zot HaBracha, the Bracha that Moshe Rabbeinu gave to Bnei Yisrael before his passing. So in the Bracha of Yosef, it says, Bechor Sharol Hadar Lo, Bekar Nerein Karnav. Right, v'hem amim yinagach yachdav af se'oretz v'hem revosefayim v'hem alfeim in Asher. The bracha given to Yosef, v'chor shoro hadar lo, the glory, the power of the shore is his. Yosef is compared to a beautiful, powerful ox, right, broad-shouldered, etc. Right, and in many cultures, lahavda lufter abdolos, right, in the Greek culture as well, right, the ox was very significant, right? In Crete, you used to have bull jumping or whatever it was, etc. Right? Whatever. Yeah. Okay. Whatever. Yeah. Never mind. So what do you call it? So they used to do that. They used to do that. Yes, you're into it. That's what you do. But any event, but Bechor Shor Hadalot, the Yosef is referred to. Yeah, is referred to as the great ox, the shore, etc. That shore, right, that Yosef, also, there was an attempt to destroy that Yosef by his brothers. Right? His brothers wanted to destroy him. Of course, we know that this is brought about, according to some, in any event, by his debuff, right, whether they were aware of it or not is a discussion in its own right, but on the one hand, he spoke perhaps inappropriately, and of course, in order to understand that properly, one has to look at the first Gurariye on Parshas Vayeshev this week, in order to understand Yosef's debuff, whatever it is, nonetheless, he was misguided. The intention was good, but it was incorrect. But they tried to kill him. They tried to destroy him. It says in Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, it says, Umachu osoy ha-Yishmaelim be'etrin kesef. Kol echad ve'echad natal shnei ksofim liknos min olim beragleihem shneemar al micham ve'kesef tzadik ve'avion ba'avur na'alayim. A pasuk in Amos, which is in this week's Haftorah, Vayeshev, right? It's in this week's Haftorah. That they sold Yosef for 20 pieces of silver in order to buy shoes for their feet. Now this is not because they didn't have a way to get into Amazon, right, and find how to buy themselves a pair of tennis, right? The idea of buying shoes for their feet. So Chazal teach us, Ram Sachin, that a person who rides a horse is like a king, and a person who rides a donkey is also like a chayzer or something else, something else kosher. A person who has shoes on his feet is a free person. A person who has none of those, not even shoes, the kavir, tavmine. A person who's been dug and buried is better off than he. In other words, the idea of being totally denuded of one's kavod, of one's self-respect, one's honor, one's dignity, is referred to as having one's shoes taken. They sold Yosef because they believed he was trying, as the word, to excise them from the Abrahamic, as it were, tradition. Not to make them, God forbid, not observers, but the legacy was going from Abraham to Yitzchak to Yaakov and to Yosef. He was trying to put them as second-class citizens, right? To remove them from it. That's what we're afraid of. And therefore, their selling of him is referred to that they sold him for shoes, right? In the In the Machzor on Yom Kippur, so it talks about in the Piyut of Ela Ezra, right? We know that we talk about the Asara Ruge Malchus twice, once on Tisha B'Av in Arzei Alabanon, and once on Yom Kippurin in Ela Ezra. And there in Ela Ezra it talks about how when the king, Adrianus, brought in the 10 great sages of the generation, again in the Lashon of Piyut, where they're all there at the same time, it's a separate issue, but in terms of the Lashon of Piyut, he brought all 10 of them in, and he said, I have an indictment of you. Your forefathers sold their brother, and according to Jewish law, one who sells his fellow Jew into servitude is chayav nisa. They didn't pay that price, and if I could punish them now, I would, but they're no longer alive. So you will take their place, you, the 10 greatest scholars of the generation, you'll take their place. And in order to give an audio-visual effect, he had the room within which he spoke them filled with shoes. Right? That's what it says in Ela Ezra. Tziva lemalos paltero neolim. He filled his palace with shoes. So I dare say.
So what is that? Like, what was the point of that?
The idea is to show that is, you know, the ten brothers, they sold their brother because they felt like he was attacking their kavod. So that they sold him for shoes. Again, not because they needed tennies, right? But because the idea of shoes is indicative of a kavod. When a person has no shoes, he's been robbed of all of his self-respect. They sold him for the ability to have shoes, as it were.
So
that's how the king was making his point. That was his audio visual. And therefore he judged them to be worthy of death, and they died. They were killed.
Because of the
brother's sins.
Which king?
Adrian or Hadrian. I can't remember which one. I think it was Hadrianus or Adrianus.
Who
are
they calling
all
the
Jews? I'm
sorry?
No, can I say it again? At any event, no, the reason I'm bringing this up is, first of all, I think we will see Hanukkah always comes around the time of the Parshas of Yosef. That's the way it always is. Right? Miketz is always on Hanukkah. Right? Yigash sometimes is even on Hanukkah, etc. The story of Yosef. These two sins, the sin of the Ega, and the sin of the Chiras Yosef, are fundamental flaws, as it were. Right? Fundamental flaws in the fabric of Jewish history. Ad kidei kach that the Meshech Chachma, and I don't want to belabor the point, it is a long Meshech Chachma, I just have a snippet of it over here, in Vayikra, Tez Zayin, Pasuk Lamed, he's talking about the Avoda on Yom Kippurim. And he's addressing some of the begadim that the Kohen Gadol would wear on Yom Kippurim. He's talking about the Ksonis there, etc., without getting lost in the roundabouts. But he says that the nusach that we say as the chasima, as the closure of the bracha on Yom Kippurim, is Katos Talchon Li Yisrael Umachlon Shivtei Yeshurun B'chol Dor V'Dor. Salchan Li Yisrael Umachlon Shivtei Yeshurun. Says the Meshech Chachma, the Salchan Li Yisrael, you're the one who forgives the Jewish people for their sin, Bein Adam L'Makom. Whereas every generation, every year, we need this to, as it were, to expiate part of the sin of the Egel Azad. It's such a horrendous sin that even though Baruch Hashem, Kodesh Baruch Hu, didn't destroy us, right? And Baruch Hashem, he revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu the Yudim Lomidas HaRachamim. But the fact is the horror of that sin, really, under normal circumstances, there's no place to go from that sin. Like Chazal say, Aluva Kala Shazintu Bechupasa. How shamed, how lowly is the Kala who is Mizana in her own chuppah. Like, there's nothing to talk about. There's no place to go from there. The only way out of it was that Hashem revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu a level of love that Hashem had for the Jewish people that was so deep, called the Yudgim Midas HaRachamim, that even something as grotesque as a kala being mizana, the avoda of the egel, in the midst of Maamar Har Sinai, even something as despicable as that couldn't touch the love that Hashem has for the Jewish people. But nonetheless, it needs cleansing. And so that's always there in every generation, and so on Yom Kippurim, in the Chasima of the Bracha, right? Kata Solchan Yisrael, that's referring to the Chet HaEgel. Query.
So how does this all go back to the shore, the Karen shore of Israel?
Oh, so I'm coming. Okay, I'm coming. Umbachlan Shifte Yeshurum. Umbachlan Shifte Yeshurum. Machlan Shifte Yeshurum is that you forgive though that nation, that's us, who should be straight with one another. Machlan Shifte Yeshurum, the Choldor Vador. And that, he says, is the reference to Mechiras Yosef, to the selling of Yosef, because that was the ultimate non-straightness between one brother and the next. The two chatoyim, the two sins, as it were, that are the imperfection and the fabric of the Jewish people, of Chet HaEgel and Mechiras Yosef. That being the case, I would like to suggest that in addition to what the Maharal says, that the challenge of the Greeks, the Xera of the Greeks, which is, as it were, is encapsulated in their challenge, Kisvu lachem al keren ashor, she'en lachem chelek v'lokei Yisrael, it's a reference to you have shown yourself to be unworthy, both on the level of being Adam l'makom, with the Chet HaEgel, and on the level of you claim Kol Yisrael Chaverim, right? You claim that you're an Am Echad. You claim that very, as it were, moment of Sinai, Vayichan Yisrael Neged Ha'art Ish Echad V'Leiv Echad. Why? Because you're so God-centric in your worldview that your own egocentricities don't become a blockage between one another. And that's being articulate, right? It's not true on both levels, right? Kis l'chem al keren ashor, the shore of the Egel, and I'm suggesting, right, on the keren ashor, on the shore of Yosef, b'chor shoro adarlo, right, what they did to their brother Yosef, they sold him. So therefore, it shows that you're not marching to the beat of a different drummer. There is no higher system to which mankind can live up to. There's only our system. Accept the sterile universe as it is, analyze it, describe it, become more wise from it, define for yourself what morality should be or shouldn't be, and that's the end of the story. Yeah? I'm okay. Fine. Further. Take a step further. In last week's parsha, and last week's parsha says, "Vayivaser Yaakov levado, vayavet ish imo ad amos hashachar." Yaakov was left alone, and he wrestled. We know he wrestled with Sarah Shal Esav. When Sarah Shal Esav saw that he wasn't going to be able to best Yaakov, what happened? Vayar ki lo yochol lo, right? Vayiga bekaf yerechol. He touched the kaf hayerech, the muscle, right? It's like a spoon, right? Where it sticks out. So that's why it's called kaf hayerech. This is called kaf hayad, because it's also shaped like a spoon. The kaf hayad, right? The kaf. Vayar ki lo yochol lo vayiga bekaf yerecho vateka kaf yerech Yaakov b'havgoimo. So the angel struck him a blow there on the kaf hayerech. That's why we don't need to go to Giranasha, etc. And that showed, as it were, there was a flaw within which the angel was able at least to hurt Yaakov, even though he couldn't best him. Why was Yaakov alone? So Rashi tells us he went back for Pachim Ketanim. Right? Takim tani, little vessels. Now, we mustn't think for a second that Yaakov Avinu is saying, Rachel, Leah, do you know how much that cost me at Walmart? You know, it's not easy to come by all those sizes in Tupperware. I'm going back to get it. Waste not, want not, just like Benny used to say, right? Or a penny earned, a penny saved is a penny earned, right? No. Everything in Yaakov in his life was kadosh. Everything was kadosh. That's why Chazal say on this, way back in Pachim time, Chavivim Mamonim Shiyisrael, Rachavim Mamonim Shiyisrael, Chavivim Yoser Megufam. Their mammon is more precious than their bodies. Because the mammon is the ultimate extension of themselves. The ultimate extension of their selves. Just like Avram is b'chol vavcha, and Yitzchak is b'chol nafshecha, Yaakov is b'chol me'odecha, with all your ma'od. With all your ma'od. One perish in ma'od, one perish is b'chol mido midos from ma'odeh, however Hashem guides your life, treats you, right, etc. And then the other pshat in ma'odecha is b'chol mamoncha, that's your ma'od, that's your extension, that's your more of yourself. Ma'od is osios adam. The Adam, his ma'od, is his mammon. Yaakov transformed everything that came into contact with into something kadosh. Into something kadosh, into something kadosh, into something kadosh. So how could he leave it there? He went back. When the angel, when the Sarah Shal Asa, struck him a blow. What I said just now?
Yeah.
No, that's... Whatever.
Okay.
That's whatever. Yeah. But what the Shlo says as follows. Shlo says that when he struck him his kaf, he says kaf is the same letters as pach. Pach. He went back for pachim, for pach, and he was struck a blow in the kaf. Okay, so the first thing you say is, okay, let's go further now. Now, says what he called, says the Shla. So if you look, you see on the bottom, you see the bottom over there, he's got some little, so you're paying your chaf at the bottom of the page, top and pach. Yeah, got it? Yeah. So in pach, the starting pay is closed. Right? And it's a bent over letter. The chaf is long, elongated, open. Okay? In kaf, which is the same letters, the kaf is bent over and closed, right? And the pei is elongated and open. Says the shla. This was the flaw. The flaw was.
Pesuk is considered closed or open?
Which one? Pesuk is considered open, right? This is longer, what you call it, it's more open than it is closed, right? Beginning pay is all closed. I mean, it's not about the member of Samach, I understand, but it's... Then the Shlai says, this was the flaw, this was the place that the Sar Shal Esa was able to attack Yaakov. Because when the Jewish people put together, so the path, is closed. Siag Lechach Mashtika, no Lashon Hara, no Motzi Shemra, right, shtika. You can hear things if you're not talking. Pay should be closed. The kaf, the open hand to give to others, should be open. Already the flaw that was there in Yosef and his brothers, albeit still in Vayishlach, right, it hadn't percolated to the surface yet. But it's there. Yosef speaks inappropriately about his brothers, and his brother's hand against him is clenched and closed. Right? So, the kaf, what he was able to be struck in was the kaf. So the kaf hayat, the hand is closed, and the peh, is open. That's the flaw. Pei closed. Kaf open is the way it should be. Yaakov went back for pachim ktanim. Pei closed. Don't talk so much. Hand open. Extend to give to others. Right? And the blow was struck on the kaf, right? Where the hand is clenched and the pei is open.
Why was the hand clenched?
Because they were cruel with him. They were cruel with him. Just like any growth, just like a fist. It's close.
Achim,
yeah, they sold him.
Doesn't happen,
yeah. The nekuda, right, is there. That's bubbling to the surface. Right? It hasn't come to the surface. It comes to the surface in this week's parsha. But that's the flaw. That's where the flaw comes. Query?
You said that the kaf is hit because it shows a weakness, but it's not Yaakov, it's the future of his
children. Right. I mean, the Ramban's got a whole other discussion over there, that the kaf over there is talking about Dorosh Shmad, etc. It has...
That is a positive thing, and he went back to get the kaf.
Oh, to go for the pachim tanim, because that showed, because he went back for that view for the pachim tanim, because everything in his life is sanctified, and in the person's own physical nature, it's also sanctified. His peh is closed. His peh is closed. And his chaf, his kaf, is open to give. Always giving, not talking. Not talking. The flaw is in the kaf. What do you call it? When the kaf, when the hand is closed, clenched like a fist, right? In anger, or refusing to give, whatever the case may be. And the peh is wide open, talking.
I don't understand why Yaakov is not punished, whatever, is struck because of that before it happened.
It's just like Yaakov Avinu is all of our souls are collectively found in Yaakov Avinu. He's got all of us there. Things he does for us, for in the future, etc.
He didn't do it.
It's true. It's indicative of some problem that's going to come about.
Is it because of that, or it's just an allusion to something that will happen?
Maybe it was something else that happens to be a symbol of it.
Are you asking, in other words, it was going to happen. It's going to happen.
So
there's a remnant to it. Right. It's not because it's a remnant to what's going to happen. It's a remnant to what's going to happen. I mean, we know there was dissension in the ranks. There's no suffix. That we know.
So the pay only is Yosef's diva, or also
the pay is indicative of Yosef's diva, and the chav is indicative of the violence of the brothers. Query?
What's the point of the remez?
The point of the remez is, on the one hand, to teach us that which defines us and that which is our antithesis, right? On the other hand, there's the truth of the remez showing, right, how everything in the future is an unfolding of what's written in the Torah already before, right? In other words, Hashem has given us free will, but the story is plotted out. Right? It's all there. It's all there. In the end of days, we'll be able to understand how everything that happened to all of us, individually, can you imagine? That's spooky, scary. It's all written in the Torah. It's all in the Torah. So certainly something of the grand nature of the Jewish people, the Chalal. The Shlah says there's also a remez here to Hanukkah. Pachim Tanim. I don't remember him speaking out quite this way, but right, Lula the Mistafina, right? In other words, in according to my own way of seeing things, if you think about well, we know what the Jewish people are supposed to look like. They're supposed to look like peg closed, siag lechachma, shtika, right? And kaf open, right? The hand open, to give, to help, etc. If you think of the two great cultures, of Greece, of Athens and Sparta, if you think about it, so in Sparta, that's a world of brutality. If the child doesn't look like he'll be a warrior when he gets older, you leave him in the forest to die. The mothers enjoin their sons before they go out into battle, either come back with your shield or come back on top of it. In other words, either be successful as a warrior with your shield, don't you dare drop your shield, right? Either come back successful, or second best is come back dead, right? But don't come back as a coward of having fled the battlefront or being unsuccessful, right? Come back on your shield. Athens is not quite as brutal a culture, but Athens certainly is the world of philosophy, of science, of oratory. Demosthenes, right? Demosthenes, the great orator of Athens. He taught himself how to speak more mellifluously, as it were, by putting rocks in his mouth and practicing speaking in spite of the fact he had a mouth full of rocks. Why that helps, I don't know. I'm not suggesting it, and I never tried it. And so, okay. But anyway, so if you think about it, the remes, the pachin kitani, there's also a remes on the other side, the kaf, inside yavan. The kaf, the hand, the clenched hand on the one hand, and the pay that's open, the value of oratory for the sake of oratory. Oratory for the sake of oratory. That's never true by Klal Yisrael. It's always the substance. It's not that a person should speak in a garbled fashion that's any plus, for sure not. In other words, to say over the Divrei Torah in a way that it's more eloquent or you illustrate it more clearly through words, obviously is a better idea. It's a better idea, at least for some people, under some circumstances. Again, even not only Rishonim spoke in such a way, sometimes in a more hidden fashion. But Eshia, but certainly just to speak for the sake of speaking, that's not a value. That's not a value. So the pay and the chaf that represent Klal Yisrael find their polar opposite in what the Greeks, right, those two cultures in Greece value. So let's just stop for a scooch. Let's stop for a scooch. That means the challenge to the Greeks, the challenge the Greeks gave the Jews was Kisu lachem al keren ha-shorosh, ein lachem chelik b'elokei Yisrael. Right upon the keren of the shore that you have no portion in the God of Israel. And we said, the Maral said there's a remez there to the Chet HaEliyon. In other words, you cannot live up to the standards you claim to be living up to. It won't work, it didn't work, and it never will work. Right? On the other hand, I was suggesting, query.
That sounds like they still believe in Hashem.
I dare say that what they're saying is l'shitaschon, or what the Gemara referred to as l'tameich. In other words, we deny the whole story. I mean, they believed in Kadmus, right? They believed in Kadmus. They believed the world is a shadow of God. So the whole thing's irrelevant. But even on, from your point of view, your message is flawed. From your point of view, you can't live up to this. You can't live up to this. Neither on the level of Bein Aron LaMakom is borne out by the events of the Chet HaEgel, nor on the level of Bein Aron LaChaveiro is borne out by the other reference to the shore. The fact that the brothers tried to kill their own brother, etc. Killed the shore. Yosef, Bechor, Shoro, Hadar, Lo, Karne, Re'im, Karnav. There's a minhag on Hanukkah, right? There's a minhag to have pseudos, masibos, etc. There's discussion as to whether those pseudos are part of the chiyav or the, what do you call it? There's no chiyav whatsoever to have masibos, but certainly the way to mekadesh them is, the halakha brings down, to mekadesh them with divrei shvach, v'hodaya, halal v'hoda, etc., divrei Torah. There's also a minhag to give tzedakah. There's always a mitzvah to give tzedakah. There's a unique minhag to give tzedakah on Hanukkah. So our declaration on Hanukkah, is that we are the people of the Pach, not the people of the Kaf. We're the people, right, when words are very precious. they're only open, the mouth is opened to say that which is important in terms of kind words to one another, of the Torah, of the Rishach, the Borei Olam, and our hands, otherwise our mouths are closed, and our hands rather be clenched in anger, in division, in jealousy, etc. Our hands instead are open to give tzedakah. That's on the one hand. No pun intended. Once you got the bug, it's hard to get rid of it. Further, I dare say this what I call, as we said before, that shore, right? The shore of Yosef. Yosef is always, like I said before, is at the hub of the parshios that revolve around here, or we call it that which around Hanukkah revolves. He's always there, Yosef. The pasuk says in Zechariah, "Va'orati yem banayach tzion al banayach yavan." The bunim, that's the second citation to the last. Yeah, I'm synopsizing. I have awakened you sons of Tzion against Yavan. Tzion and Yosef of Singamatria. Not just cute, right? But what do you call it? But they are the same gematria in that they are the same. Chazal say, the Medrash says that that everything that happened to Yosef happened to Tzion. Everything that happened to Yosef happened to Tzion, without belaboring the point. Yosef is Yefei Tor of Yefei Mara. He's one of the few men who's referred to with such terminology in Tanakh, right? Maybe Avshalom also in a different fashion. Yeah? Yifei Tor Yifei Mara. Rashi teaches us Yifei Mara with regard to Rachel, Yosef's mother. Yifei Mara is a ziv upon him. What is ziv? Right? It's like this glow upon a person's face. Right? The ziv, Rachel explains that the ziv upon him is the person's internal soul system, making itself apparent upon the person's face. Chachmas Adam Tayir Panav. The wisdom of a person causes his face, yes, to glow with that wisdom. That's why panim are called panim, says the Ramchal. Panim miloshem pnim. Because that's where the inside makes itself apparent on a person's, yes, physiognomy. It is on the face. Pnim miloshem, right? Panim miloshem pnim. Chach mazadam toer panav. Chach yifei tor yifei mare. Right? Ziv hapanim. Tzion is called michlal yofi. Tzion is, we say in Shir Shalom, is Michlal, the essence of Yofi. What is Yofi? Just like the Yofi of Yotik, where there is an incredible harmony between, on the one hand, the system of the guf and the system of the soul, so too Tzion, right? Tzion is the Mokom Dinashke, like Chazal say, Mokom Dinashke Shamayim Ba'ar, the place of the heavens and earth kiss, is Tzion, where the Olam HaGashmi and Olam HaRuchmi, as it were, are in harmony. Tzion is Mechlal Yofi. Tzion is also Tzadik on top of Yavan. Yosef HaTzadik overcomes Yavan. If you think about Yosef HaTzadik, there's certain things that typify him. There is his relationship to Yofi, as we said already, not succumbing to the seduction of Eishes Potiphar, his own beauty, etc. He's Yifei Tor, Yifei Mara, Ziv HaPanim. That's in contrast to the world of Yofi that the Greeks are selling us. The perfection of the body, perhaps the perfection of the body together with the intellect that would be in Athens, etc. But certainly not the soul system. There is the approach to Chachma. In the Chokhmah of where you are the sole arbiter of what wisdom is to be considered, so one's thumbs tend to become super glued to one's proverbial suspenders. Right? In other words, Right? I understand. I am brilliant. I am wise. I am all understanding. Please rise. Right? By Yosef, and you read it, sometimes you read some of these things written by great scientists. What can I say? It's Rech City, the gaiva that just oozes from them. How they're so totally enamored with their brilliance. It's like, oh, it's grotesque. Yosef, on the other hand, what's his answer? He's the wise person. Elokim pisornim. God have the answers. Biladai Elokim yaneh shlom paro. It's not me. Hashem will answer. Hashem will answer. Elokim pisornim. To God are the answers. Different approach to chachma. Tzion is the, what do you call it? It's the place, yeah, where the Shemayim Ba'aretz, the place that holds Klal Yisrael. Holds Klal Yisrael. That's our place. Our place is in an environment that breeds, on the one hand, a healthy outlook towards beauty, a healthy outlook towards Chachma, and, as the Pasuk says in Habakkuk, Tzadik Be'emunaso Yichya. Right? He lives in Emuna, his bitachon. I imagine, yeah, Yosef, Hashem talks about it in this week's Parsha. Imagine, after his unbelievable Amida ben Yisayon, with Eshet Potiphar, what's his reward? 1 year in prison, of course. Doesn't that cause the person to pause? Excuse me? What? Huh? What's the story? Or, is asking to be remembered by the Sarah Mashkin. Zachartani, you said it twice? Of course. You spent 2 more years in prison. He has no questions. The tzaddik v'emunosho yichya. The tzaddik v'emunosho yichya. Why it happens? That's a discussion in its own right. But he has no counterclaims against the Creator. The tzaddik v'emunosho yichya. And that's opposed to the rule of Kafira that the Greeks are promulgating, and the society that we live within also promulgates. Like, not a matter because they thought about it, just like, why think? Thinking can be dangerous. So, think? You must be kidding me. You might die of nerditis if you thought. So that being the case, the Chanukah is a time, if you think about it, Chanukah is a time in the Schadek, and then on Mamakom, in terms of the Muna, it's time to be Mishchatik, and then on Lachavero, like we saw, in terms of keeping the Kaf open, to give to one another, and not just Tzedakah, but also to be more gracious to one another, to kind to one another, be more understanding, be down to have schus to one another, not writing people off, which of course they have a tendency to do. Emuna, Yofi, right? Perhaps to reevaluate how we think of Yofi. That doesn't mean everybody's going to walk around in a gunny sack. But to reevaluate what Yofi is about, what Chochma is about, to strengthen our Amunah. And the fact is that during Hanukkah we have the 36 candles that are lit. Those are Kenegad the Lamed Vav hours that the ore of Maisa Bereishis was shed upon Adam before it was Nignas. 12 hours of Erev Shabbos and 24 hours of Shabbos. So we see the Hanukkah licht, when we see those candles burning, we see those lights burning, that ore is available to us if we so choose to tap into it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us strength, he should give us wisdom, he should give us sensitivity, as it were, to uplift ourselves on all those planes, right? Of Yofi, of Chachma, of Emunah, of kindness, right? Of Tzedakah, etc. And we should have a lichtige Chanukah. Mm-hmm.